If you will, turn your Bibles tonight to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. And we're going to begin in verse number 12. And I want us to go down to verse 12 of chapter 4 to look at this particular subject tonight. We begin reading there in verse 12 with me, 1 Thessalonians 3. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. This evening, I want you to consider with me as we look at this particular passage, that phrase, unblameable in holiness. Paul, writing to this church, is praising them for their service and encouraging them in their sufferings. They are being persecuted. And Paul is encouraging them because of this persecution that's coming their way. And in spite of the persecution that they are facing, we find them faithful in their service to the Lord. And that's remarkable when we look down through history. We look back at our fellow brethren throughout the ages that we see, even in the midst of persecution, how often it would strengthen the Lord's people, how often the churches would continue all the more striving in their service for the Lord, and because of that, how many more were added to them, even in the midst of those times of persecution and trial. Paul encouraging them here. We read that there in verse 14 of chapter 2 when he says, "For ye brethren became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, for ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." And so they are suffering these persecutions because of their stand for Christ. And he goes on to tell us there in verse 2 and 3 of chapter 3 that those afflictions, those persecutions are a part of the lives of the children of God in the service of Christ. He says there in verse 2, "And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto." Appointed thereunto. I was struck by that thought this week, hearing another preacher preach on that particular subject, the idea of persecution in our own nation. This may be a little bit of a rabbit to chase, but it will be those that claim Christ that will be first to call us haters of Christ, because we do not hold to a love and tolerant Jesus alone. As Brother Josiah mentioned, he is holy. And the message of today is all tolerance. Love, that's all they're concerned with. And it'll be those that claim Christ. It'll be those that claim Christ that will be first to persecute the people of God. Here Paul says to them concerning these very persecutions that they are facing, "To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness." unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Now, Paul describes to them his desire. He says there in verse 12 that they would increase and abound in love one toward another, and then that they would be unblameable in holiness. Many try to show forth an air of holiness to those around them, but when they are alone and only few can see, or no one else can see, the true wickedness that is in their hearts is open and comes out. They live ungodly as the world when no one else is around, or when no one else that matters sees them, and all the while trying to claim Christ before the brethren. Paul's prayer here for them is there would be no ground of accusation against them because of unholiness. Ephesians chapter 5, he says here in verse 25 down through verse number 27, as he is describing that mystery that Brother Josiah brought forth. He says there in verse 25 of this passage, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Holy and without blemish. Our Lord has called us to holiness as His people. Not tolerance. Holiness. Holiness. At the coming of Jesus, Paul says, when He comes, will He find us faithful? Will He find us unblameable in holiness? Paul's encouraging them in that reality that though they are in these persecutions at this point and they are suffering at the hands of those against them and against Christ, that they are to continue faithful. They are to continue unblameable in this holiness, that they might continue to display Christ to those around them. And to be encouraged, because as he would go on to say here in verse 13 down through verse number 18 there of chapter 4, the Lord is coming. He's coming. And so he says in verse 1 of chapter 4, Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. He begins here, he gives them some examples of what we should and what we shouldn't. More common and basic examples that they would be aware of. And so he says, we beseech you, brethren, exhort you, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. That we would continue to grow in Him as we learn more of Him, as we hold fast to Him, as we walk with Him and seek to please Him, how we would grow in Him, abounding more and more in these very things that are to be found in us as the children of God. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, he says, even your sanctification. You're setting apart. You're being made different from the rest of this world. And he begins there in verse 3. He says that ye should abstain from fornication. Abstain from fornication, sexual immorality. And yet, sadly, with all the warnings that are given this in the Scripture, how many times we are told to abstain and to stay from such sin, it is a sin that many in our day give excuse for. Not only do they give excuse for it, but they somehow expect God to pay no mind to it. Well, it's just what everybody does. And so why would God hold me any different than... But the Scripture declares it sin. Doesn't matter what we think about it. It doesn't matter what society thinks about it. It doesn't matter whether we even make laws to promote it. None of that stuff matters. God declares it sin. And therefore it's sin. He declares it sin, and therefore we are to abstain from it. So we should know, he goes on to say there in verse number 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. We should control ourselves. That we would possess ourselves, that we would not allow self off to do its own thing, to follow after its own path, to seek its own way, but that we would hold fast to God, walk in His ways, hold to His Word, and be found faithful in the things He has declared to us.
Amen.
Verse 13 again, back in chapter 3, he says, to the end, He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness. It is necessary for us to see that if we are to walk with our Lord, if we are to abstain from these things He says to abstain from, and to do these things that He says to do, that it takes the power of the Lord to do that in us. For Jesus says, without me, there in John 15, without me ye can do nothing. We have to have Him. We have to have His power. We have to have Him holding us. As Brother Jim made mention, we're holding His hand. He's leading the way. We have to follow Him. And so he says, we need to control ourselves, that every one of you should know how to possess His vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, or in the lust of covetousness, even as the Gentiles which know not God. How many people around you today, how many do you see in your family, in your friends, those around you that are on one hand trying to claim Christ, but there is no difference between them and the rest of the world? No difference whatsoever. There's no amount of holiness that can be seen in them, or even the desire for it. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond. He goes to another thing here that we should abstain from, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such as we also have forewarned you and testified. Lying against a brother to get the upper hand, to get one over on him, in order to take from our brother his money or his property or his respect or his dignity, whatever the case may be. But rather we should be pushing for the lifting up and the blessing of our brother. Amen. We should be holding him up. We should be encouraging him. We should be strengthening him, not seeking to take from him, not seeking to lie about him, not seeking to defraud him in some way. Paul warns us here in verse number 6, God will avenge all those who have done his people wrong. Let no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Verse 7, he goes on to say, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He's not permitted us uncleanness. It does not matter if you like that person or not. He's called us to holiness. It does not matter what maybe he has done to you in the past or not. He has called you to holiness. When God's people can't get along, when God's people are seeking to defraud one another, what testimony does that give to the world? And how many times is that very excuse given to you when you are witnessing to others? How often is that one of the first things that people throw out is the fighting and the bickering and the betraying of God's people toward one another? He goes on to say, verse 8, he therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. If you despise your brother, one whom Christ has died for, your despising then is not against him. It is against God. Amen. For he has given his Spirit to indwell him. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Now, Paul goes to verse number 9 here, and he takes up the things that we are to be doing. Things that should be in our lives. He says there in verse 9, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And that's what he said there in verse 13, that they would increase in that love, increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. And here he says in verse number 9, he says, you don't even need me to write to you about this. This is what we are taught of God to do. This is one of the primary things that he has taught for us to, as Jesus said there in John chapter 13, it's one of the chief things that man knows, that we are the followers of Christ, because they see we love one another. It's that love in us that shows. It's that love in us that shines out that we belong to Christ Jesus. That love that we have for one another. And then here he encourages this church in the fact that this love was already in them. It's found in their very actions. He says there in verse number 10, and indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. We will never arrive in this flesh. We will never arrive in this flesh. We continue to grow in the things of God. We are loving each other now. Love each other more, you see. It needs to abound more and more in us. And they were known, Paul says, they were known for their love. Not only for the love they had for one another, but to all that were in their country, they were known for that love. Love more and more. Love more and more. Abound in that love. one toward another. He says there in verse 11, that ye study to be quiet. Study to be quiet. This fourth thing he says, in loving our brethren, we are not to be so involved in their lives, in our love for them, that we become busybodies over them. Paul would fact in 2 Thessalonians, over here in chapter 3, he would actually chide them for this in his second letter to them. When he says here in verse 6 of 2 Thessalonians 3, he says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither would he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Study to be quiet, he says. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing, for if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Admonish him as a brother. It's easy to spot the things wrong in each other. It's easy to spot that. If you're looking for it, you can find a bunch, right? Find many things that we can point out. He looked at me weird. He's got a funny smile. His ears are too big. I mean, we can come up with all sorts of stuff that we can point to. But that's not. We're not to focus on those things. And even he says, when they are not walking right, even when they themselves are busybodies. We're not to count them as enemy. We're not to be looking for those things, but rather we are to admonish them as brothers. Encourage them, rebuke them, strengthen them, help them along the way. It's hard for us to take criticism, though. And so when we've been busybodies and somebody says, hey, you're a busybody, then we'd call them one in return, wouldn't we? We're to treat them as brethren, he says. And so he tells them here in our text, here in chapter 4, that they are study to be quiet. There in verse number 11, that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business. How many times have you heard that in your life? Mind your own business. And to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Do what you're supposed to do. Do what you're supposed to do. Be faithful to the work God has given you. Walk as He's called you to walk. Encourage your brethren as you go along. Strengthen them, help them, lift them up. But continue on doing what God has given for you to do. And be faithful. Brother, I hate to see my brother along the side, but I've got to keep going. I'll encourage him, I'll strengthen him, I'll help him every bit, but I've got to keep going. Continue faithful. Verse 12, that ye may walk honestly. toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. That in doing these things, or abstaining from these things that Paul has outlined, that we would walk honestly before this world, that we would be unblameable in holiness. That there'd be no charge. Listen, for the people of God, when persecution comes, I pray that it'll never be because of our wickedness. That if they're going to persecute, if they're going to bring charges against us as God's people, that it will be charges of our holiness in the fact that we are faithful, that we walk, that we do. Them people follow the Bible. And amen, let them bring the charges. That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. In Colossians chapter number 4, he says in verse number 5 and verse number 6 here, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. We have no promise of tomorrow. We have no promise of the next hour. We have right now. Redeem the time. Walk in wisdom toward them. We have to do it all the time. We can't say, well, I'll do it tomorrow. Oh, I messed up. I'll do it better next time. Walk in wisdom before them, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Our Lord has called us to holiness. Paul gives us these examples here of the things that should be found in us. Let us be faithful to walk. Let us be faithful to follow our Lord, that we would be mindful of that walk that we are taking each and every day, that we would be mindful of the fact folks are watching me. My children are watching me. My grandchildren are watching me. My children's spouses are watching me. My neighbors are watching me. The people I work with, they're watching me. People are always watching you. Oh, they notice when you mess up. We're not going to be perfect. We're going to fail. We're going to come short. But be mindful of it. That we would continue when we fail, we can go to them and say, I'm sorry, I messed up. I sinned when I did that. I'm sorry that I gave that testimony to you. I want to show you who Christ is and what He demands. And be faithful to walk in holiness. Thank you for your attention tonight.